Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome.
Oh,
that's
it. How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it.
Why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on great stations around the country. It's the Jim Bob Show. Game day edition. In Jim Bob, it's this time of year, you know, off season for the NFL, but as active as ever with free agency. And when it comes to sports, this is one of those time periods on the calendar that sports fans look at where everything is going crazy on the betting side, the wager side, the sports side with March Madness on the line. Excited to have Dave Mason. He's a sportsbook manager for betonline.ag. Dave, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me. A great week to have me on. March Madness this year, one of the biggest weeks of the year and one of the biggest betting events of the year as well.
And do you have your bracket done, Dave? Is that complete? And then if so, send it to us.
You know, I filled it out the other day, but I just opened it and, you know, it's too vanilla. I need to pick some more upsets here. So, you know, these things are always a crapshoot. I haven't won one of these darn things in two decades. So, I'm overdue, but, you know, man, these are tough.
I was telling Dane that picking winners is a lot easier than picking against the odds makers, okay? And we are a little bit familiar with the gaming industry, having our own gaming scenario and so forth. But I wanted to talk to you about, you know, we had a show and we were talking about the odds that were going on for the big game against San Francisco and against the Chiefs. And everybody was flabbergasted that the Chiefs were the underdogs. And I said, hey, understand this, is that when the odds makers set the odds for any sporting event, they're doing a little bit of a balancing act between predicting what the actual outcome of the game and the event's going to be and anticipating where the betting public's going to go and put their money. And so, you know, you can't get lost in the fact that, hey, you want to give me points and give me Patrick Mahomes and Jason Kelce and Andy Reid and that team. You give me points, I'm going to take them. I don't care who bets where, I'm taking those points.
No, I mean, that, you know, that was a head scratcher. And I, you know, I'm working on this side of the counter and the sharp money was on San Francisco. The sharps hit -1. You know, we opened, I forget what it was, -2.5, -2. Public was on the Chiefs right away, bet it down. And then when it hit Niners -1, sharps hit that. So we made it go back up to -2. You know, we needed the Niners. It stuck at 2. I didn't get it. I mean, personally, I hate betting against the sharps, but I bet with the public there, man. I was a Joe for that game, and the Joes won. I didn't get it at all. But you know, we got hammered. We lost on the Niners. We needed Niners big. We did good in props, but we lost on the
I know that big. I'm always arguing with people when we start talking about odds and everything. I go, listen, true odds are one thing. Okay, and I'm okay with true odds because I'll tell you, I know how much goes in to looking at the deep dive into stats and team performances and historical matchups and player injuries, weather conditions, and all the other factors that are going to influence a game. But one of the things that I can't to explain to people is the betting public influence that you got to think about too when you're setting these odds in regards to making some action happen. You gotta set the odds to develop action, and that's where everybody gets lost. And I'm saying, guys, I don't care what the odds are. They gotta set the odds so people make. And the Mahomes deal is a great analogy here in the fact that, hey man, we knew that Mahomes will take those points every single day because I think the true odds, if you're asking me, when I start looking at the performances, there's no way I'm handicapping and giving the Chiefs points to beat me. I mean, because I just think they're that good a team. And they started gelling around that sixth game before the end of the year. And so me on the true odds, I thought the Chiefs should have came out favored by, you know, a point and a half to two.
I'm right with you. I mean, I just think we got it wrong. We, and I'm speaking for BetOnline and all our competitors, I think we were just overthinking it. Chiefs were higher in the power ratings all year, but you know, with the NFL, Mahomes, you got the Mahomes Andy Reid factor,
right?
And then they were just like you said, they were peaking at the end of the year. I mean, the last five games up to the Super Bowl, they're 5-0, both straight up against the spread, whereas the Niners were, I believe, 3-2 straight up, and I think 1-4 against the spread. I believe that's what they were, 1-4 against the spread. So, I mean, that tells you he was peaking at the end of the season, which is often. This is important. I think we in sports, but we just got it wrong. That the Chiefs should have been favored, like you said, 1.5, 2 points. That would have got a lot more even action, I believe. But you know, sharps would have been all over the Niners there. I mean, they were over on -1, but they would have. Sharks sort of lost, you know. So that's
Dave. This is the time of year when hope springs eternal for all those fans of teams that aren't the Chiefs, right? You know, they're thinking of renaming the Super Bowl the Chiefs Invitational, right? As they go for the three-peat, there's a lot of people that think they're going to win again, and who could bet against them? I mean, really, right? But you look at this is that time of year, especially as people are heading to Vegas maybe for March Madness. They're going to make those big bets. They're going to say, oh, my gosh, the Bears, Caleb Williams, they're going to be in the Super Bowl, right? And you can go ahead and have some great odds and make that big thing. We always hear those guys who bet the Cubs to win the World Series, and then guess what? They did it. So talk a little bit about that as people kind of get hopeful, and what are the odds of some of those teams that aren't the Chiefs to maybe come out on top next year?
No, absolutely. You know, we open our Super Bowl futures for the following year, probably about a week before the actual Super Bowl. So, you know, we open them 53 weeks early, and they just start taking action right away. It doesn't matter, you know, before free agency, after free agency, leading up to the draft, et cetera. I mean, the free agency will move the odds a bit. You know, we have to be on our toes there because, you know, names just start dropping and the odds move. I mean, a perfect example was a few years ago with Tom Brady. I mean, we had them we had the Buccaneers 33-1, and all of a sudden he's going to the Buccaneers. And some people knew, a lot of sharps knew ahead of us. So they were betting at 33-1, and we got exposed big, and they were, I think they dropped all the way down to 12-1 or so. And we were chasing that red number all year. I mean, we lost big on the Buccaneers. So yeah, I mean, you know, free agency is pretty much done, or the big names, rather.
Well, when you look at that, though, Dave, is that speaking of that, I was just looking at this Mike Williams signing by the Jets, and the Jets are sitting at 25-1. And that's one, and we were talking about that on the show earlier today, and I said, let me tell you something. The Jets are a team that I think it might surprise some people. I'm not for sure I'm headed to Vegas this week, but I'm not for sure I'm going to put a five-figure note on that Jets 25-1. But I can tell you, with some of the people that signed, and you're exactly right, when we had the Buccaneers at 33 or 34, 35-1, whatever it was back then, I mean, that was something a lot of people, when Brady signed, people jumped on that immediately.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And we got hammered on it. We were chasing it. You know, that's the thing. When you had 33-1, the small bets add up to a lot. So we were chasing that number all year, and we just got hammered on them. But yeah, I mean, the Jets, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers, of course, coming back, and people are betting them. People are betting Texans 22-1. They're a hot bet now.
I think the Rams got to be a play too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are they're our biggest liability right now. So if the Rams won, as of now, lots of change is going to change. But as of now, they would be our biggest loss. So they're a big liability. The Texans are a big liability. And Chiefs to three-peat is a big liability, which is kind of rare because usually those favorites, we don't have a big liability on them because their odds are shorter. But as of now, the Chiefs are our third biggest liability. Then the Steelers.
Yeah.
People like those quarterback signings, right. I guess. You know, Steelers are always a sexy team with a lot of fans all over the place, so that's a big liability as well.
I like the Ravens at 9-1 signing Henry. Is that I look at that game and we recap that Ravens Chiefs game. If the Ravens would have ran the running backs that they had, that game might have been a different story. But now with Derrick Henry and, you know, Ravens sit there at 9-1, I would say that's a pretty good bet in regards to them and the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. And if they've got a Derrick Henry, that's a whole different Steve Spagnuolo defense he has to dream up.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what a perfect signing for the Ravens. Derrick Henry going there, just a bruising back. I mean, that's just a match made in heaven. He's getting a little older now, but he hasn't lived up to his age yet. So, but it's coming one of these years. But, I mean, the thing with that division, though, is that AFC North is just so wicked. I mean, you have four potential playoff teams there, you know, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, and then, of course, the Steelers. I mean, that's they're just going to beat the heck out of each other all year. I mean, you could have actually – four potential playoff teams. We don't know, but yeah, Ravens are going to be right there, and what a great signing that was.
In the NFC North, and you look at this here, based in Chicago, of course, you mentioned that they sexied up the Steelers with some of that action, sending Fields over there, but they're getting the big draft pick. They've added some wide receivers for a city that still celebrates the 85 Bears. Now, granted, it was one of the best teams in history, but that's it, right? Those guys are getting a little bit older. What do you think? What are the odds for the Bears to do something this next year?
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought.
Why aren't they 100? Why aren't they 100-1?
I would put them higher. You know, I put them 75-1, but our guy who runs this market has them shorter. But you know, some books are even shorter. I saw 33-1 out there, which I don't get. I think a lot of people, you know, just go off the
it's so
draft.
Depressing, Dave. You're like, why aren't they 100-1? Yeah, I guess.
Well, you're trending up, though. You're trending up. It's Caleb Williams a stud, so you're getting a good one there. So, I mean, they won't be ready this year, but you know, they're trending up without a doubt. I wouldn't put too much money on now to win the Super Bowl, but but division on another matter. I mean, that division's obviously the Detroit Lions are finally good there, +135, but the Bears are +350, so that you know, today we got a realistic shot to make some noise in the North there.
Yeah, absolutely. And turning a little bit to the basketball scene and so forth, we're teasing you about getting that bracket done and so forth. But you know, this year it's again another year where UConn looks pretty dominant. Houston's been dominant defensively all year, and you know, great on the glass, and you know, Purdue. You know, it's one of those question marks that kind of remind me of the Dallas Cowboys. But you got Earl Bruce, getting those Auburn guys ready again. And that's always one of, you know, he looks like he's already got his Final Four face on in the games he was playing in the conference championships. But anything stand out for you on that basketball scene? I know you're a football guy. I'm a football guy, but I certainly pay a lot of attention to what's going on in the basketball world. But, I think that Kentucky, you know, it's got the potential to make a run. So I'm excited about getting, you know, I'm headed out to Vegas. We're going to be out there, you know, all week, and then we're going to Phoenix for the Final Four. So we're going to have a time.
Oh man, I'm jealous. That's a great week to be out in Vegas.
Dave, you're in Costa Rica.
yeah, who's yeah, jealous well, of who? You know,
I'm here all the time, though, man. I wouldn't mind getting up to Vegas for first weekend of the NCAA tournament. That's my favorite weekend of the year as far as betting events. I'd rather be there for that than the Super Bowl. First 2 days are just awesome. No, absolutely. I mean, the thing with the NCAA tournament now, you know, it's throwing a monkey wrench in things. Is the portal. And like last year, I mean, we saw three teams make the Final Four for the first time. And, you know, just Cinderella teams, you know, FAU and then Miami. And SDSU, I mean, who the heck had those teams going in the bracket? So, you know, I look at my bracket here and like, oh, there's no way, you know, Purdue can lose twice in the first round in 2 years. And, you know, I have them going to the final this year. I mean, it just has to be the year they break out. You know, I'm looking at Virginia, I think it's 2019, I believe it was when they were 2018. I think they lost in the first round and then they, won it all the next year. The only team besides Purdue ever to lose as the number one seed that won it all next year. I think Purdue finally breaks through and makes it a long way. But yeah, man, you look at these teams that are ripe for upsets, and there's just so many of them. And you look at New Mexico. I mean, they're an 11 seed, but they're favored in the game.
I mean, well, there's four teams that are double digit that are actually favored in their games. Yep. And so that's an interesting year. By the way, I'm not for sure who wins that Grambling Montana State game, but I don't think Purdue is going to lose to either one of those teams in that first game. So we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you, that next game against Utah State, I like Utah State a lot.
Bet them.
Yeah.
Dave,
a true Osmond, baby. I love it.
I wanted to get your thoughts, Dave, too, because think about this. You mentioned it in March Madness and everything, not only for those favorites that are going to be out there that people are going to be predicting, but all those Cinderella teams. It's like the best part of Americana, right? And sports and fandom and all that history and nostalgia and everything that goes along with it. Is that kind of thing, like March Madness and the excitement around it? And then maybe you're great with numbers or whatever. Is that what really got you into this business? It's not everybody that's doing what you do.
No, I mean, it was two things. First of all, my love for sports and I just grew up loving sports. The college basketball was a big part of it. NFL was a big part of it. Baseball, basketball, all the major sports, right? And I was decent with numbers. I wasn't a mathematician by any means, but I was definitely strong at it. So I always dug into stats and all that stuff. Always loved the stats, and I was just going forward through figuring out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I'm in my early 30s, and I was like, I'd like to be in the gambling industry, and did some research and went down to Costa Rica and knocked on some doors and made things happen. So, I had jobs where I was just like going to work because I was like, oh my God, I got to go to work today, and I was like, there's no way I can do this for the next 30 years. I had to find something that I love and interests me, and I'm looking at sports and watching games for my job. I mean, that's a good guess as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's a great livelihood, and you're in Costa Rica, and we had 70 degree weather here in Illinois, and then the next day it was literally snowing.
I don't miss the snow at all, man. It's a little hot here, but sometimes, but it beats the heck out of the snow.
Is there anybody? We'll do two questions here. Is there anybody that you've looked at closely on the bracket? I know I've made one up. I usually do four or five of them. That's about the extent of it. But I keep coming back to the same group winning the championship at least twice, I go, well, that's enough. I mean, we're pretty close. Is there anybody that you really got a hankering on, thinks is going to pull away and win it again this year?
And it's not a sexy pick, but I think UConn's is head and shoulders above everybody else. And Danny Hurley's doing such a great job there. They're so confident. They are the favorite, so that's definitely not a sexy pick. But they are my pick to repeat. I do like Purdue. Despite what has happened in the tournament, I think they finally break through this year. Again, not a very sexy pick, but a number one seed going down the ladder a little bit more. Creighton, I like Creighton. If Purdue doesn't make it out of the Midwest, I do like Creighton, a number three seed. I watch a lot of Big East basketball, and I think they have a really well-rounded team and built to win. As far as long shots, Texas Tech, a number six seed, I think they can make some noise in the tournament. I don't think they can win it all, but I think they can get to the Final Four. Houston's loaded. I mean, they're a one seed. They're loaded. As far as upsets, real long shots. Drake, 10 seed. Really like Drake. I think they'll make it. They can easily make it to the Sweet 16. Upset Washington State, and then probably Ohio State. Most likely they'll play. So I like Drake to go for a double digit seed to make it to Sweet 16. I like Drake, and of course I mentioned New Mexico earlier.
Let the listeners know we're talking with Dave Mason, the sportsbook manager for BetOnline.ag, and of course we'll have links up at WGNRadio.com as well. Jim Bob, you got another?
I like his picks. Hey, switching, last question for you in regards to looking at that upcoming with all the free agency and everything, and some of these odds are going to change. But, other than the favorites, the Chiefs and the 49ers and the Ravens and the Bills, anybody out there that, like I said, I mean, I look at this and I go, hey, boy, I tell you what, the Jets kind of look pretty interesting at 25-1. Anybody that you think, like the Falcons, I was surprised at how quickly the Falcons went from where they were to a minus 150 to win the division. So I guess that's a foregone conclusion that they're already going to win that division. But, once you get playing, who knows? I mean, you think that Falcons team is that much better for Kirk Cousins than the Vikings, and can he do something there? And the Falcons sitting at 28-1.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Falcons too, and something you have to consider, is they play in that division. the NFC South, which is, you know, garbage. So that helps, you know, whereas, you know, we talked earlier about the Ravens playing in a tough division. You know, yeah, the Ravens are stacked, but man, you know, that division, I mean, you have the Bengals right on their heels and then the Browns and the Steelers. It wouldn't shock anybody if either of those teams win the division either. But conversely, for the NFC South, I mean, it's Falcons and Sarah's to lose. I mean, Kirk Cousins is a perfect fit there with all the young talent they have at the skill positions there. So 28-1, are they Super Bowl contenders? I don't think so, but 28-1 is a good shot. I think the Dolphins, again, they're at 28-1. I mean, they made such great strides this past year. I think they're only going to improve more. Houston Texans, man, did they make a great leap. That C.J. Stroud is an absolute stud. 122-1. That's a good bet.
Speaking of that, Browns, though, Browns are one team. Yeah. I bet on them to get to that Super Bowl because the odds. I didn't think that, you know, we were going to have we were going to lay a complete egg in that playoff game and throw five interceptions with Joe Flacco. But I'll tell you what, if the Browns come back with that quarterback position and you're sitting there at 45-1, I kind of like that bet.
I do too, and I was just about to say the Browns at 45-1. You know that defense is absolutely wicked, and you know that. Yeah, and they quarterback. You know the Flacco comeback player of the year, great Cinderella story until it got to the playoffs. But I mean, you know what they were able to do to get into the playoffs. You know, if Watson can play anything close to what he's capable of playing. I mean, they're right there. So I think I really like the Browns at 45-1. Absolutely. Yeah. Right there with you.
Yeah, I agree. And then again, you know, who knows what happens with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields and the Steelers. But, you know, I would say that Russell Wilson, I'm sorry. I still, the guy won a Super Bowl, should have won two Super Bowls if Pete doesn't make maybe the dumbest call on the 1 yard line we've ever seen. But, you know, he's still a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's not who he was back then. But, you know, I don't think he was a fit at all at Denver. I don't think that he had the right system with Hackett. And then Sean Payton absolutely despises him. So that wasn't going to work, you know. But we'll see what happens with those Steelers. I think there's some interesting stuff going on there. And I got to tell you, one of the teams I've lost a lot of faith in and just have written them off is that I'm going to bet against the Eagles. I think they're discombobulated. And I got money says they can't win 10 games.
Really?
I don't like them.
No, you don't like. Well, you know, listen, I'm a Philly guy.
So, right? That's I can tell.
Sorry, Dave. He felt personally.
It's all right. Okay, they were an absolute mess the second half of the year. I mean, there's no secret there. What? I mean, even when they were winning the first half of the season, it was just like, yeah, they had the best record of the NFL, but they're not playing like last year. Hurts isn't playing like last year. He seems to be dinged up. Who the hell knows what happened that second half of the season? I mean, they were just not awful.
They lost their defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's huge. And they lost them again.
You're right. They lost them again. So here's the deal. So that matters because I tell people, listen, man, the guys that took the head job at the Phoenix and took the head job at the Colts, those guys could call a game. Okay. And if you don't have the experience of calling a full game in the NFL and you come in and you're a defensive coordinator, and that's what happened the latter part of the season. The teams caught up with what the Eagles' concepts were. And, you know, they basically outcoached them on the defensive and the offensive fronts. Their stuff was old. And those guys that they lost were good guys. They're head coaches now. I mean, it gives you, I think that the Phillies, look, I like the head coach of the Phillies. I like him, even though he's a Philly cocky guy. I love it. And I am a Philly. I love Philly town. We were there for the Wells Fargo. I'll tell you this one. And so Wells Fargo invites us in. And they want us to sponsor the Wells Fargo Arena there for, you know, the Flyers and the Sixers and and the college and everything. And we spent like 4 days there. I got to meet Dr. J, Allen Iverson. I mean, we had a great time there, man, and I loved it. But I will tell you, I was so disappointed in how the Phillies played the last 6-7 games. And even, like you said, the first, you know, 8-9 games of the season, they just weren't the same Philly team. And then when you lose like Kelsey in the middle, that whole heart's going to be hard to replace.
Now I agree. Kelsey leaving is a blow without a doubt, you know, especially for the locker room. You know, he's an all pro, he's a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer. And he was just such a great leader as well. So We'll see. I mean, I do like the acquisition of Saquon Barkley if he's on the field and behind that. I mean, their offensive line is still going to be very good even without Kelsey. So, I mean, he's getting the heck out of New York. So it's going to do wonders for him as long as he stays healthy. I mean, if when he's healthy, he's one of the top three talented backs in the league. So I think that helps a bit. But we'll see, man. I mean, Hurts, I don't think he's as bad as he was last year, but I don't think he's as good as he was the year before. I think that's a little bit of fool's gold there. So a lot of this is going to be dependent on Hurts, man. Is he the Hurts of 2 years ago, or is it the Hurts of last year? And he's going to make him tick, I think. And you know, there's some locker room stuff there, too, I think, A.J. Brown. And we'll see. I'm not optimistic, but, you know, they have the potential.
There's so many questions out there, right, that will have the answers in the immortal words of Dave Mason. We'll see. Right. And so Dave, as we let you go, where can people find you? BetOnline.ag is the website. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com and great stations around the country. But social media wise, where can people keep up?
Yeah, man, I'm on Twitter or X or whatever we call it these days, at Dave Mason, B-O-L. Come on over and say hello and get on over to BetOnline.ag, sign up, and then get in on the March Madness action.
Awesome, buddy.